You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda the Hall site on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall, psychic all the way from the Gold Coast. I hope you're having an absolutely fantastic week wherever you are. And this amazing planet of ours, I mean, there's always plenty happening around the world, you know, from weather events to wars. But let's just sort of take a breath and sort of just enjoy the next half an hour and sort of chill out and sort of take a little bit of me time and sort of, you know, absorb what we're going to be talking about on the show and sort of see how that maybe fits in with your life this week. So this week, the Simply Tarot card of the week is the Magician. Now, the Magician's one of these very ambiguous cards because people sort of used to say to me, well, what does the Magician really mean? You know, I can see he's got his table there. He's got the four elements, the wands, the cups, the pentacles, and the swords. So what does the Magician mean? Well, the Magician actually is the card of the element of surprise. Now, the word surprise, we tend to sort of think of it always being good, but sometimes surprises aren't good. Sometimes they're bad. So the word surprise actually means something that you're not expecting. So it can go either way. It can be a positive or a negative. So when I see the Magician card come out in a reading, yes, I think about it as being the element of surprise. And, you know, I'm always prepared. It could be good and it could be maybe not so good. But I also look at that I have all the tools of the trade sitting in front of me on the table that says that I have everything that I need to achieve whatever it is that I'm setting out to achieve, or to combat maybe something that's not so good, that I have the tools, the way out, I have the answers, I have the solutions to be able to improve anything in my life. And I think that's what the Magician really means, is that you can be your own magician. You can pull a rabbit out of a hat if you need to, that you have the capabilities, you have the opportunities, you have the tools of the trade that are needed to make your life better, that you can improve any negative situation because everything's in front of you. It's not hidden. It's not behind you. It's in front of you so that you can just pick up a tool and make things better. So in a way, it's a very positive card in that way. Even if things do look bleak and, you know, you're going to be caught a little bit by surprise, you have the tools to be able to rectify the situation or move it along or improve it in some way that will help you. So the next time you see the Magician card come out in a reading, think about it in a positive way, not always a negative way. So astrologically, we're coming to the end of the Cancer cycle for this year. Happy birthday to all the Cancerians. It's a very powerful time of the year. It's where we certainly think about family and loved ones, and it doesn't matter what your star sign is. We tend to sort of focus more on family at this time of the year because that's what the Cancer energy is about, sort of nurturing, caring, and sort of being super strong too, but maybe sort of trying to heal some of those family rifts that happen from time to time too, because everybody doesn't always see everything the same way. And it's interesting. You get a group of people together that should get on because they're blood related or related in some way. And sometimes that's the greatest distinction of all, is that everybody has a different opinion and thinks theirs is more important than the person sitting next to them or across the room. So families can be a mixed bag. It can be sometimes a great joy and sometimes a great sadness because, you know, not everybody gets along. But anyway, happy birthday to all the Cancerians. It's been an interesting time this year with cancers. I've been working with a lot of Cancerians over the last month, and a lot of them are making major changes at the moment. They're not satisfied with where things are, and they're sort of really outgrowing their current shell in a sense and looking for a new shell to sort of rehome themselves in. And I don't mean necessarily moving home, but they're sort of outgrowing many areas of their lives and starting to make expansion or changes or opportunities. So it's really has been a very dynamic year this year for Cancers, and particularly around their birthday, where they really are gaining a lot of confidence, and that's really lovely to see. So, you know, it's important that we honour what's sort of actually happening around us. So, again, happy birthday to Cancers. So we have Jupiter, the Sun, which is in Cancer, is conjunct or holding hands. Jupiter, the planet of expansion and opportunity. But Jupiter is sitting in the next sign of Leo. So this makes it a rather unusual conjunction when you say that they're holding hands, because we've got Cancer, we've got the Sun sitting in Cancer and the very last degree of that. And then we've got Jupiter, the planet of expansion and opportunity, has already jumped into the next sign, is in Leo. So it's almost like a little bit of a tug of war going on there. You know, the Sun's sort of saying, I want to just bask in the glory and enjoy this sort of really secure, happy sort of feeling of being in Cancer for the last, you know, 24 hours and just sort of soaking that in and sort of feeling very, very comfortable. And Jupiter's sort of saying, but hang on a minute, come on, we've got to get to action. We've got to get things moving. It's time to get out there and strut your stuff and sort of bring in new opportunities and bring in opportunities that we haven't been able to do before because we didn't have the energy or the resources or whatever the case may be. So this is really affecting the water signs as well as the fire signs. So it is certainly affecting Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, the opposite sign being Virgo, but it's also affecting with this conjunction Leo, Sagittarius and Aries and the opposite sign of Libra. So those eight signs are being really affected at the moment by this one conjunction, and the conjunction will be there for another 24, 48 hours and then the energy will start to wind down. Now, I want to move on to Mercury. Now, Mercury is one of these planets that I talk about quite often on the show, but particularly three times a year when Mercury goes retrograde. And look, for all the years that I've been in astrology and I've, you know, tried to educate people about Mercury retrograde, I still find that a lot of people sort of say, yeah, I know all about it. And then, oh, I didn't know that bit. Or I didn't know I shouldn't post an important letter under that time, or I didn't know that I shouldn't sign a contract unless I really have to. So again, I'm going to reiterate, when Mercury is retrograde, and it has been for the last 3 weeks, it will turn direct on the 23rd of this month. But when we say it turns direct, you've got to allow 2 or 3 days past that for Mercury to really build up the momentum again of gaining his direct power. Just because he's stationary at the moment and he's ready to go direct on the 23rd doesn't mean on the 23rd miraculously everything's great and we don't have any complications with communication. It just means Mercury starting. It's like starting the car up of a morning and you've turned the key, you've got it, you're letting it idle in the driveway and you're just letting it warm up. Well, that's what Mercury's doing. Mercury's just going to warm up in the next 48 hours. He hasn't ready to drive yet. He isn't ready to put the car in go. He's just sort of saying, let's just idle. Let's just get it all warmed up and get ready. So with Mercury retrograde, it's been a really tricky Mercury retrograde this time. I've had lots of people sort of say to me, my cell phone's broken, my iPad's not working, my tablet's not working. I've supposedly got a message or an email, it didn't come through. I've sent a parcel, it didn't get there. Look, these are all typical Mercury retrogrades. You know, like it's the time when our internet service can go down. It's the time when you go to the ATM and it's broken. You know, it's the time when I really stress that if you want to have a really important conversation with somebody, if it has to be during this time, make sure that you stop periodically and double check with them that they fully understand what you've been communicating. And it might seem very silly to sort of stop and say, now, did you really understand what I was saying? You know, give me some feedback. And then you'll be able to ascertain whether or not they fully were listening, were they absorbing what you were saying, or were they just giving you lip service and thinking of something else. And it is not the time to sign a contract unless you absolutely desperately have to. And my advice with that is that you read it out aloud. When we read it in our, you know, just looking at it on a screen or on a piece of paper, we don't always absorb everything that's written in something in an important document. If I have to sign something or give consent to something under a Mercury retrograde, I always print it out. I read it out aloud a number of times to make sure that I haven't missed any important point. And that can save you a lot of heartache and a lot of headaches if you just take that simple step. It's not the time to sit down and have the heart-to-heart with your dearly beloved. You know, if you're having some issues in your relationship, leave it until after the Mercury retrograde, you know, Mercury's really gone direct, because, again, people misinterpret, don't have their listening ears on, or feel that they're not being heard. And it's a time when a lot of arguments can sort of flare up because of this reason. So it's a time for the rest of us, you know, if we haven't got anything major in our lives, to sort of slow down, smell the roses, smell the coffee a little bit. Just allow your mind to wander, because it can be a time of great healing and great letting go too. You know, a lot of people have said to me in the last couple of weeks, oh, I'm getting a lot of flashbacks from the past. Well, this is Mercury's way of clearing. It's like what we used to do, defrag your hard drive. It's defragging your mind. It's releasing old things that are no longer useful to you that we don't need to keep. They come back, you have one look at it and you give it the flick and say, I don't know why I kept that. But it was important at the time. And this is so we can make way for new memories and new things that are going to be coming in to our lives. We've got to make space for it. There's only so much room in our head and so much we can store away. We have to clear it out occasionally. So Mercury, as I said, is coming to an end, 23rd. By about the 25th, 26th, things will be sort of back, quote, to normal. And that's good. So it's been a difficult one because it's been in Cancer. It's really asked us to go in and really get in touch with our emotions, our feelings, and, you know, family matters and anything that might have been really important to us. We've really had to dig deep and sort of look at where these triggers have been coming from. And I think that's the reason why we've had so many flashbacks to the past, is that we had to clear that out. You know, things that were once really important to us that we held dear, that we locked away, we had to resolve those so that we can now move forward. Now, it's interesting because Venus, the planet of love and affection, is in Virgo. Now, this will apply to the whole 12 signs, not just the earth signs. If you are searching for love or you would like a new partner in your life, you need to really work with the Virgo energy. Now, the Virgo energy can be quite nitpicky. It can be sort of like standoffish. It can be quiet. It can be sort of gentle. But at the same time, it sort of like doesn't say a lot. So if you're looking for love at the moment and you sort of think, oh, I'm being too picky or I'm being too finicky, no, you're not. It's the Virgo energy that's asking you to sort of up your game a little bit. You know, why would you want to attract somebody that was not right for you? You know, we've all had relationships that didn't work out for various reasons. So why would we go back and look for somebody that's similar or be attracted to somebody similar when we knew that from past experience that didn't work? So why are we sort of looking? Because it's familiar. And that's the thing. We sometimes sort of go back and put our same feet in the same holes and make the same choices because it's familiar and it's safe and we know it. Now, Virgo here is asking you to step out of that. It's asking you to be incredibly critical. If you meet somebody tonight and you're out, you know, at a dance and, you know, you get an uncomfortable feeling in the pit of your stomach, then follow that. There's some reason why you're feeling uncomfortable. So I would be polite and move on. If you're feeling great about it, then that's good. But make sure you take your time. You don't just get caught up in the emotion of meeting somebody that's absolutely drop dead gorgeous and can't believe your luck. You know, you've got to look past the shiny part of a person too. You've got to look at what is their soul, what do they stand for? And obviously, if you've just met them, you don't know everything about them straight away. But you, as time progresses, hopefully you will get to know a little bit more about them. So I'm going to ask you to be quite critical if you're attracting a new partner at this time. Don't sort of make allowances or sort of sidestep issues that are really big to you. If there's a big warning coming out, then make a hurried exit, because there's a reason why it's being amplified and shown to you. By the same token, you know, being critical like this can make you sort of really make sure that you you get to know somebody very thoroughly. And that's a good thing too, because, you know, sometimes I think we go into relationships way too fast. We don't take time to get to know somebody. You know, back in the olden days when people used to go a-courting, as they say, you know, they were always seen in public places like parks and gardens and things like that, where they could spend some private time together and get to know each other, but it was still a very public place. And people took the time to get to know each other before they made that commitment of becoming a relationship or getting married or living together. And this day and age, I think we could sort of take a leaf out of that sort of book and slow things down a little bit and truly get to know somebody. We have Uranus, the planet of the unusual and unexpected, is sitting in Gemini, and so is the planet Mars. They're not conjunct, they're not holding hands. Now, the reasons why I want to talk about these two planets, with all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East and with what's going on with world leaders and things like this, maybe, just maybe, with Uranus sitting in Gemini, that we might get some breakthroughs here that might come unexpectedly out of nowhere, seeming like one minute everything's looking hopeless and then all of a sudden we get a breakthrough, because Uranus is like the bolt of lightning. It can strike the ground, it can change things very quickly. So let's hope that Uranus is going to stir things up in a way that maybe we might get a permanent breakthrough here. We might finally get some world peace. Wouldn't that be lovely? And with Mars also sitting here, Mars is the planet of action and sometimes referred to as the planet of war. But I would like to look at it in this case as the war of words, that, you know, with both of these planets sitting in Gemini, it's about communication. It's about local issues. It's about looking at it from a local standpoint, not always from a world standpoint. You know, what is going on over there? Why is it going on? Who's disrupting who? Who's not playing fair? There's a lot of layers to this. And, you know, we can sit in our comfortable homes and say, oh, this shouldn't happen and that shouldn't happen and it's affecting, you know, the price of petrol and I've got to go to work. And they're all very real issues. I'm not saying they're not, but we maybe need to go back and look at what's happening over there locally to try and understand the complexities of what's happening. And let's hope we can get a Uranus breakthrough and things can be moved along quite quickly. I want to sort of just quickly touch on Chiron. Now, Chiron's not a planet. Chiron's the wounded healer. It's where we find in a chart where we need to heal. And it's sort of, you know, some people sort of say connected to past lives. Yes, it probably is in some way, but I look at it as the lessons that we've brought in, which, yes, are connected to past lives on a soul level. Now, Chiron has just moved into Taurus. So this is going to be affecting the Tauruses now, or the earth signs, for many, many years to come. So they're going to have to do some healing. They're going to have to look at healing the physical, emotional and well-being of themselves. It's going to be a bit of a tough ask. It's going to be maybe have to think differently, maybe look for different medical practitioners, look for different answers. Don't just keep putting your same feet in the same holes and saying, I'm not getting any different results. Dare to sort of look outside the square a little bit, you know, and look, there's so many different avenues this day and age. And look, you know, there's AIs and everything like that that you can Google in or whatever and type in your information and up comes, you know, 1,000 different suggestions. Look, that's all well and fine, but don't forget that, you know, the medical people, the professional people have spent many, many years training to sort of help you and help you understand your medical condition or your emotional condition and how you can transform your life. So it's about, you know, yes, it's wonderful to have AI, but also don't forget AI isn't a trained medical practitioner, that we need to take notice of the people that have done the training that are there to help us as well. So we're going to take our first caller, which is Brenda in Mount Oreb in Ohio. Are you there, Brenda?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question I can answer for you, please, Brenda?
Yes, I've had a lot of obstacles here in my life recently. And I'm just trying to, like, head towards the positive. And I was wondering if there was anything that you could give me to maybe, you know, help me get there or let me know I'm going the wrong way or anything like that.
Well, I certainly don't think you're going the wrong way, Brenda. The first thing that they showed me, the symbolism of endings, change and transformation. Now, look, when we have that coming into our lives, it doesn't mean it's always easy. You know, sometimes we've got to sort of really push through to sort of break a cycle or to sort of complete something that we sort of think it shouldn't be this hard. Maybe I'm going the wrong way. But sometimes it's not that at all. It's showing us that we need to be a little bit stubborn or pig-headed or determined, whatever label you want to put on it, to push through this, that this is the only way we're truly going to get to where we need to go. It's interesting because they keep showing me that you're soul tired. It's like you get out of bed of a morning and you think, oh, I already feel like I've run a marathon, you know, and the day hasn't even begun yet. And then you sort of, you know, you push through that and you keep going and you achieve what you need to achieve for the day. I'm going to say to you, yes, I think you're doing a lot of work while you're sleeping of a night. There's a lot of activity going on, and that's why some mornings you wake up and you really do feel tired, and you are genuinely tired because you've been working all night while you've been sleeping on sort of trying to sort things out. They're showing me that by about the end of August, things are going to become a lot easier than what they've been. I'm still not going to say, Brenda, that everything's, you know, sorted and you can say, yippee-doodle-dandy, I can move forward and I haven't got a care in the world. You're still going to have to put effort in, but you're certainly on the right track. Have you been contemplating making some changes to where you're living? Have you been moving the furniture around at all? Yeah, that to me was sort of
I have been getting furniture. I've been contemplating a move a little further from my job, and that's why I'm contemplating it, because it is a drive, and I work outside in construction, so it's a lot.
Yeah. But if you were to move, do you think it would make you any happier?
It would cost me less. So I don't know if that's really where happiness lies. But it would cost me a whole lot less.
Well, I think it's got to be brought into the equation because, you know, if it's going to cost you a lot less financially and you know, and even in travel time, they're big bonuses this day and age, you know, like, you know, you've got to think about everything right across the board. So, look, I'm not going to rule out a move. Would that happen before the end of the year?
Yes.
But sort of like from about October. Yeah, I sort of felt from about October was when.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just still up in the air. We own property, and I've just been, you know, contemplating on moving out there, and it's just a lot longer of a drive. So it's just kind of been up in the air.
Okay, so it's going to be not closer to work. It's going to be further away.
It can be further away from my job, but it'd be a lot cheaper in the long run. So
right. Okay. All right. So, look, I mean, obviously you've got a lot to weigh up, but I just sort of feel by October you'll know which way you're going to go as far as whether you're going to move or whether you're going to stay. I actually felt you were going to move, and I actually felt you were going to feel a lot happier in yourself, even though it may be a longer commute to work. It sort of seems like an easier commute in a sense, you know, like you seem happy to do it, you know, like you enjoy the drive. It seems to be a more pleasant drive than where you are now. But I did also sort of feel that once you've made the move, that it's like a lot of other things start to fall into place, Brenda. It's like, I think it's more like, because it feels more like home, it's where I need to be, you know, sort of like I believe this is a place for everybody where we sort of, you know, we can walk on the ground and we're saying, oh, good, I can exhale, I'm home. You know, I feel secure, and that's what I'm feeling around that more than anything. So, look, you're definitely on the right path. Don't look at anything as being a negative. You've had to push through this. The decisions will come. You'll get out of bed one day and know exactly what to do. So until then, just keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep rearranging the furniture, do what feels right, and the answers will come. That's where we've got to leave Brenda now. We're going to talk with Terry in Houston in Texas. Are you there, Terry?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Terry. Do you have a question I can answer for you, sweetie?
Well, kind of just a minor one. And other than that, I just kind of want to see what Spirit has to say to me. But okay. I'm kind of thinking of doing a different part-time job. I'm a retired teacher, but I was thinking about changing to an after-school program rather than driving a bus or keep doing that, but adding this other. And I just wondered if that was kind of a good idea or just stay with what I'm doing.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I think you need to get, you know, not no disrespect to being a bus driver. I mean, that in itself takes a lot of concentration and a lot of patience and, you know, obviously you love working with children. But I also sort of feel as if I want to get you back into something that gets your mind active again, you know, that you feel like there's a new challenge there. So I think that's a good thing. It's interesting because they're showing me that, you know, from a different sort of perspective, that you're starting to open yourself up psychically. You know, you're starting to listen to the messages or the triggers and the things that are coming to you. And not all of it that's coming through is necessarily do we have to act on. But it's sort of like, you know, all of a sudden I get really strong feelings about things, and it's sort of like it's super heightened, as if you're more aware of it now. It's probably always been there, but you've never really taken notice of it, or it seems as if it's more heightened at the moment. It is heightened more at the moment. So that's, you know, you're not wrong on that score. But I think it's also sort of trying to get you to open up to sort of like things don't always have to sit in little boxes, and we don't always have to put them up on a shelf. You know, sometimes we can do something that's different, that, you know, stretches us a little bit, makes us sort of think in a different way. These are all positives. And I think this is what the message is coming from the other side, is not everything has to stay the same, Terry. You know, like if you get an idea and you want to take up, you know, being the baseball coach, and you know absolutely nothing about baseball, well, then learn about it and do it. You know, like it's not about always about staying safe. And I think that's what the major message is not everything has to stay safe. And that's a good thing, because, you know, you've still got a lot to give the world. You've still got a lot to share with people, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in the traditional sense of teaching. You know, teaching comes in many different forms. It's, you know, it's sharing the knowledge. It's opening somebody up to a new experience. And I think there's a lot more of that to come for you. But I also sort of feel that you're going to just know things, and you don't even know how you know them. You just know them. Well, that's part of your opening yourself up, of listening to your own inner voice, or putting, you know, the label under a psychic ability or whatever label you want to put on it. But that's what it means, is you're finally listening to what your higher self has been trying to tell you or is sharing with you. And that's a good thing. So, you know, I think the next couple of years are going to be sort of quite exciting, because I can see you branching out and going into things that you'd never even dreamed of before and thought, oh, that sounds like a good idea. I might try that. You know, and sort of your life is going to become incredibly full because of you trying new things, and that's great.
Yeah, that is great. So I just kind of need to keep listening, is what I'm at this point.
Yeah, to listen to your inner voice, you know, like, and it might sometimes it's a whisper and sometimes it's really loud. And, you know, you could be driving down the street and all of a sudden a song flashes into your mind, but you only hear, you know, three or four words in the song, and you think, that's interesting. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know what I mean? And it's like that's your inner voice giving you that little bit extra, you know, that then you can sort of go with that. And I'm sure in all the years that you were teaching your students, your children, that you taught them to think outside the square, or to follow their heart, or, you know, to gravitate to what they were felt natural to them. Well, you've got to start taking your own words of advice now. You know, like, this is your learning curve. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I think as teachers we forget that, you know, that we've got to swallow our own advice as well. So, anyway, that's where we've got to leave it. Terry, I wish you well. I think it's a very exciting time, and you're going to have lots of adventures in the next few years. Anyway, that was lovely to talk with Terry. And, you know, it's always interesting as we're turning a corner that we're going into something new, and people are sort of transitioning, you know, right around the world at the moment. There's lots of people transitioning to lots of different things. And, you know, it's an exciting time. But also the most important thing I think most people are usually looking for is true love. You know, people sort of say that money makes the world go round. I'm not disputing that. We need money. That's part of society. But I truly think love is what makes the world go round. So today I want to leave you with a very, 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 very beautiful love song. Again, showing my age, I tend to like the older style of music more so than the modern hip hop stuff. And I think this was one of the most beautiful songs that was ever written, and certainly truly delivered beautifully. And it is called Truly by Lionel Richie. It's a beautiful love song, and it's timeless in my opinion. So enjoy your Truly Ever After with your special someone, if you're lucky enough to have someone by your side. And if you're not, be a little bit more like a Virgo. Be a little bit more critical about the type of person that you want to bring in. So until next week, enjoy Lionel Richie and Truly. Bye for now.